Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Covering the Miami Heat from deep in the paint to beyond the arc and always inside the 305. This is Red Hot Hoops. Now, here's Alex Dono and Hollywood.
So who are these Miami Heat? Are they the team that lost to a 20 games under 500 awful Charlotte Hornets team? Or are they the team that on the road beats a really good Cleveland Cavaliers team? I think the answer to both of those questions is yes. I think that, that depending on the night, you could see the Heat play up or down to their competition. And Alex Dono, alongside our producer, Marcos, who's with us, Hollywood is taking the day off, my friends. And of course, Marcos is a Heat aficionado like all of us are. And listen, Marcos, again, that win against the Cavaliers, 197, it shows you what this Miami Heat team is capable of. I love defensively how they kept that Garland-Mitchell backcourt in check. You know, they held them both to 16 points. And I love the way that Jimmy Butler specifically was able to attack that Cavaliers defense. Now, if you just look at Butler's shooting stats, it doesn't set the world on fire when you shoot 6 for 16. But I think the magic from Jimmy came from the way he was able to attack the rim, be aggressive, and get to the free throw line, because he got to the charity stripe 15 times and hit 10 of his 15 free throws, which is more than twice as many free throws as any other Heat player took on the night. So I thought that that was a big factor, right? We got aggressive playoff style Jimmy in that win.
No, I definitely agree. At any point, Jimmy has the ability to determine it's time for me to be the best player on the court. And we're used to seeing that in clutch moments, usually in the fourth quarter, but it kind of seems like he had to get into that mode early on in the first quarter. And thank God he did. You know, that was a majority of our offense stemmed from him and him being at the head of that offense. And, you know, later on, you got good contributions here and there. For example, Caleb Martin had a good night from three-pointer. Yeah. I think he had 18 points. Bam. How about that dunk from Bam on Jared Allen yesterday?
Sick.
Let's go, Bam. Bam's just been dominating as of recent. So I think it was important that you said it there. If you were to look at the box score for a lot of these numbers, you know, nothing jumps off of the stat sheet, but it was just the timing of everything. Even Kyle Lowry's 6 points, they didn't come until late in the game, and we needed every one of those points.
Yeah, and for Jimmy, you know, he hit the 10-foot jumper that basically iced the game with a little over a minute left. So he hit the most clutch of clutch shots in that one. And you mentioned Bam, who, you know, didn't start off great from a shooting standpoint, finished the game really strong. But Cleveland, it's a tough matchup for Bam because it's one of the longer teams in the East. And just stylistically, it's a tough matchup for the Heat. So for Adebayo and his size to be able to do what he did. So Bam finishes with 18 points and 11 rebounds. He shot 7 for 13 in the game. You know, going back to Jimmy, who led the Heat in scoring, led all players in scoring with his 23 points. I mentioned he shot 6 for 16, 10 of 15 from the free throw line, 1 for 4 from 3. And, yeah, listen, Caleb Martin, I thought, was about as valuable in this game as Bam Adebayo was, and that's saying a lot. You know, you mentioned hitting clutch threes. Caleb hit 4 of his 5 3-point attempts in this game, and he had a double-double. He had an 18-point, 10-rebound game. Like, you know, Caleb Martin, he's one of my favorite players on this Miami Heat team, Marcos, because, yeah, he's probably not your first, second, or fourth choice of whose jersey to buy. Like, if you're buying jerseys for your kids, you know, he's a guy who, you know, kind of came out of nowhere, and, you know, the Heat and I'll give him the credit. He has molded himself into a star with the Heat nurturing him into, you know, maybe star is not the right word to use here, but he's become just such a capable player. And so many times, especially early in the season, like I question this guy being in the starting lineup, but the more time that goes by, the more he is earning his spot, and he's earning every minute he gets.
Absolutely, man. And I'm not sure if you heard the Omer Yurtseven era is about to be upon us. I want to see how that affects Caleb. You know, he's been asked to do a lot more than what a standard person his height or his build is required to do. Obviously, he has nights where he shows that the versatility of him being, you know, more of a forward than any one of these big men. He can hit the threes that we need him to, but then he can also put up double-digit rebounds. So just, you know, the athleticism has definitely come to play. Again, I'm interested to see once Yurtseven gets back into the mix, is this going to be something that alleviates some of the pressure from Bam, helps the defense, helps rebounding? That's something that we've needed all year, size. So that's something I'm interested to see.
I had a conversation the other day with Eric Reed, the longtime Heat play-by-play man, and I asked him about Yurtseven, who's recently been cleared for basically full contact, no restrictions in practice. And, yeah, I mean, E. Reed seems to think probably sometime, maybe shortly after or around the All-Star break is when we may start seeing Big Yurt in some games again. And, you know, the Heat have always been the type of franchise that's very careful with players coming off of injuries, Marcos. I mean, you see, you know, how patient they were with Victor Oladipo to try to get him back in the right way, both last year and this year. And, you know, how patient they always are with Jimmy Butler whenever Butler has an ache or a pain. So they're not the type of franchise to try to rush anybody back and, you know, make anybody suffer any setbacks. So we'll see Yurtseven when he's good and ready. This is a player I've had very high hopes for since the Heat acquired him. So, you know, hopefully he can be part of that rotation. And I think it's always a good thing when Spo has to ask some questions on, you know, who he's going to use in certain rotational spots, right? And, you know, to this point, you get contributions always from some unlikely places, right? I mean, I don't know how many people would have predicted some of the performances that we've seen from the likes of Orlando Robinson and Haywood Highsmith this year and what we saw over the last couple of years with guys like Strus and Gabe Vincent, you know, and Caleb Martin. So the Heat always tend to find those diamonds in the rough, and hopefully my Turkish delight, Omer Yurtseven, can become a weapon down the stretch. What do you think?
Yeah, man, that would definitely help us. I know the trade deadline is approaching, which kind of leads me to my next little statement here. A lot of stuff circulating around Kyle Lowry, and our usage of him has gone down and down. He had a lot of minutes yesterday for a lot, you know, when I tell you Tyler Hero, 18 points, you know, Bam, 18 points, Caleb, 18 points, Jimmy, 20 points. And then you see like a 6 points from Kyle Lowry. You know, even Victor Oladipo seems to have more of a stamp on the game when his shooting has been poor as of recent, but he'll have, you know, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, you know, a couple steals here and there, some defensive changing plays. What are we doing with Kyle Lowry? Like, is this, do we cut our losses? Are we waiting for something? Is it his leadership? What do we do, Donovan?
Well, the first thing is, I think you're already seeing the way Eric Spoelstra uses him evolving. And a big part of that is you have a guy like Gabe Vincent, even if he's not starting games at the point, Spo seems to be trusting Gabe to finish games more than he's trusting Kyle Lowry. So right there, it's not to say that Lowry cannot have a role to play for this team down the stretch and in the playoffs, but, you know, it's one of those things where if you look at who the starting five is, maybe on certain teams that matters. With the Heat, it matters very little because the starting five and the closing five are often far from the same on an Eric Spoelstra closed team, coached team. So closing these games, we've seen Gabe Vincent, as he did against Cleveland, kind of take that closer's role away from Lowry. I would have no problem trading Lowry. I mean, would you? I guess my question would be, at 36 years old, how much trade value does he honestly have? I mean, it's like, you know, is he like a throw-in? I'm sure the options on where to unload him would be limited.
Yeah, I guess, you know, let's see, who are sellers? Like I said, the trade deadline is approaching us. If we look at the bottom of the league, that's usually where you can find people who are selling. I see the Hornets, a team that plagued us a few days ago, are you know, really bad. They have a couple pieces, you know, that maybe would be – I'd be interested in looking at, but I'm not sure if they would want Kyle Lowry. That's, you know, that's the problem with having a depreciating asset such as a Kyle Lowry is the only thing that we can possibly keep him around now is maybe the lack of usage we've given him. Because, you know, if you remember at the beginning part of this season, man, his minutes were all the way up. There was that famous meme of him at the bench just, like, completely exhausted. And since then, you know, we've completely gone 180 in that.
Well, so do you think that the 180, does that in your mind have to do with we don't want to play him too much because we're trying to trade him right now? Do you think that's what's going on?
I think that's definitely could be part of it. I think it's on purpose at the very least, and not necessarily just because of poor play. Because there are a lot of people who aren't necessarily performing the way that they need to at a consistent basis. It could be either, like you said, preserving a trade asset, or it could be if we are going to get anything out of them, chances are we're probably going to need it when things get craziest, which is probably the playoffs. Yeah. So, you know, I don't expect a huge output of scoring in the playoffs from Kyle Lowry. But let's say he's taken off as long as he's taken off for the most part. Come playoff time, when it's you're on the road and you're down and there's adversity, I don't know if Gabe Vincent is ready for those moments yet, you know? And I don't know if anybody who we bring on is necessarily ready for those moments. But I think that could be the only reason why we haven't made a move on Kyle Lowry, because I just don't understand his purpose on this team.
I hope that like the nice win that the Heat got against Cleveland isn't something that Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg and company look at. They're like, oh yeah, you know what? We don't really need to make any trades. Like, look at that. Look at that. When we're at our best, we're capable of beating the type of teams we're going to match up with in the playoffs. We don't need to do anything because, you know, they've gotten nice wins over the last week plus. Boston was shorthanded, but still an excellent win. This Cleveland win was an excellent win for the Miami Heat. But still, it's like there's certain situations, I go back to Cleveland's length, where, yeah, great to beat them on the road last night. But a seven-game series is a completely different animal with the way that can wear you down. And, yeah, you're capable of beating Boston on certain nights, even when Jason Tatum doesn't play. But, you know, would anyone handicap the Heat to be better than Boston over the course of a seven-game series right now? So I hope that kind of seeing the way this team is capable of playing when they're at their full potential doesn't, you know, fool anyone into thinking that, yeah, you know what? Similar team that was a shot away from the NBA Finals last year. You know, we're starting to peak a little bit. Let's just keep running that back. I don't want this to be any sort of a justification for not doing something, because I still think that this team needs reinforcement. Otherwise, you know, I look at Miami as, you know, get into the playoffs, probably not make it past the first round. I will say that I'm looking at the playoff standings now, Marcos, and yeah, it's good to be, at least for the time being, it's good to be out of that play-in spot, right? You're in front of the Knicks, who we're going to see soon here. Two games now in front of the Knicks in the sixth seed, 7.5 games out of first place. I'm actually kind of surprised that the Heat are now only a game and a half behind Cleveland, because just based on, I guess I'm so close to it because I watch the Heat every game and they've had so many poor losses this year. And it's like Cleveland, by their standards, especially, are having a really good year. So it's like, it feels like the Cavaliers should be better than a game and a half better than Miami at this point. So good on the Heat for making up a lot of ground recently.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just the way our season started, and I was looking at the standings today as well. It's just surprising to see that, like, not only are we in it, like, you know, in regards to a play-in game, we're a few games away from, you know, third, second seed kind of thing. Yeah. And we kind of look around like, really? This team? This season? But, you know, in the last, I believe, 9 games, we're like 7-2 or something like that, so I don't know, man. I'm not necessarily saying we've figured it out, but I think that's, you know, that's good because we haven't figured it out yet. We're still in the hunt. And that's what's most impressive of the first half of the season thus far.
Ask me some questions, Marcos. I know Marcos wants to debut a new segment here on Red Hot Hoops.
Indeed. New segment. We're going to try it again when our boy Hollywood returns. But for now, you know, we're still going through the beta phases, you know, Dono. So let's see what we got going on here. Question number one of I Got a Question. And this is, by the way, history. It's the first one ever.
Wow.
What was the more impressive win, Dono? Was it this win against the Cleveland Cavaliers, or was it against Boston a few nights ago, maybe about a week ago? Which one was the more impressive win in your opinion?
It was this win against Cleveland, because you were basically facing a whole Cavaliers team. Like, you don't come out of this one with any what ifs, right? Because even though Jimmy didn't play in the game against Boston, which made it a little bit harder for the Heat to win that game, but Boston was missing four important pieces that night. So sure, you could come out of that one with like a what if. Well, what if both teams were completely healthy? What would have happened then? With this Cavaliers game, you got basically the full version of the Miami Heat versus the full version of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Boston couldn't figure out Heat's zone defense. You kept their potent backcourt in check. So I'm going to say this is the better win, because it's so few times. I can't even really think of an example of another time it's happened where the Heat have beaten a pretty good team at full strength this year. Because, you know, when they've gotten recent wins over Boston, over Milwaukee, over, you know, I don't know, the Lakers aren't good. I don't know why I was thinking about the Lakers, but they've gotten some wins against teams that are like good, but, you know, we're not healthy, and you don't really know, hey, is that what's going to happen come playoff time? So I think this win over Cleveland was the better win.
All right. Donald, you ready for another one?
I'm always ready.
Have you seen Max Strus? Has anyone seen anyone locate Max Strus?
I'm going to say no, I haven't. And it makes me a little sad. Is he on a milk carton now? Have you seen Max Strus?
I have not. He disappeared along with Miami Heat 3-point shooting.
Oh.
You know, as you're a frequent host of the Tobin and Leroy show that I'm on, Leroy always has the term that, like, you know, eventually these professionals will even out. He theorized that Duncan Robinson's slump would end and it would be followed by, you know, a successful shooting period that would even him out at whatever his career average was. And it seems like we've been waiting for the Miami Heat to return to their 3-point stardom. And I don't know how long, you know, it's come to the point where you have a Duncan Robinson and a Max Strus on your team and you're desperately on the hunt for a shooter. Which doesn't make sense. It shouldn't make sense, you know?
Yeah, it shouldn't. And I'm looking at so Strus and Robinson, who played a combined 25 minutes last night, hit the same number of 3-pointers that I did. I was looking at Orlando Robinson. What am I thinking?
Duncan didn't hit any yesterday either.
No, he didn't. He didn't hit any yesterday. But Max Strus went, 0-for-0 from 3-point range yesterday, played 14 minutes that were not all that memorable.
Yeah. And look, Victor Oladipo has struggled from the threes ever since returning as well. I think the last three games, he's like 1-in-5. You know, like 1-for-8, 1-for-5 or something like that from the three. But nonetheless, he's affecting the game in other ways. Unfortunately, if as a 3-point shooter, if you're not making threes, you're not affecting the game. You're not in the game. Now you're just dead weight. And at this point, Duncan Robinson costs way too much money to be dead weight.
Yeah. And hopefully Strus doesn't reach that point. I still have faith in Strus snapping out of the slump, because his slump has not been going on nearly as long as Duncan's.
All right. Ready for question number three?
Let's do it.
Has Bam done enough to solidify himself as an NBA All-Star reserve, which, by the way, is set to release tomorrow?
I mean, that's a layup. You know how I feel about Bam. Not enough people watch. It's hard to. I'm not blaming them, because, like, unless you have the NBA package, you know, you're probably not watching most Heat games, because they haven't gotten nearly enough national TV love. I mean, Adebayo has been consistently out there. He's been consistently performing. The floor on his defense is very high, because even when Bam is not playing at his best, his defense is usually close to his best. You know, the floor on his offense is a little bit lower, but he's been playing closer to that ceiling lately. I mean, listen, 18 points last night for Bam kind of felt like an off night, because he's been putting up some 30-31s recently. You know, I mentioned not having Jimmy in that game against Boston, but Bam was the guy who took over. Bam, you know, put on one of his best performances of the year in that game. So to me, I understand there's some competition there when it comes to the front court in the East, but Bam to me is 1,000% deserving. I don't know why he's not getting more love from the fan vote, but I think they're going to do the right thing and he's going to get in as a reserve.
All right. I think he deserves it, by the way. And we will find out 100% on Thursday the 2nd. So we will be on the lookout for that. Ready for another question, Dono?
Let's do it.
Should I be concerned with Tyler Hero's inconsistent output?
I'm going to say a little bit. I was tempted to say no, but I'm going to say a little bit, only because you saw some consistency from him late in the playoff run last year, but he was also banged up. But then the other reason why I'm concerned about it is we've had such a small sample size of Tyler playing in the same lineup on the same night with Jimmy and with Bam all together, and the Heat not having any injuries or maintenance, that to me, it's just more of a fit type of question, because Hero, he's such a talented scorer. He's so good on the ball that, you know, on nights when he's the second or the third option, does that make it harder for him to get involved and have impact on games? And I think that once, and let's not forget, his role last year was sixth man of the year, and he went from sixth man of the year to being a starter this year, which I think was, you know, you could say deserved based on how well he played as the most valuable bench player in the entire league last year. That's great. But it's a different sort of role. So I think it's more of a fit thing for Tyler. And I think it's something that I think you can be a little bit concerned about it, because, you know, once you now for the next couple of months, hopefully see a more complete, healthy version of the Miami Heat than we saw for the first few months of the season, I think we're going to have a much better idea about, you know, how Tyler's game is going to fit with everyone else's in that starting lineup.
I think I just solved it, Dono. I think I just solved it. So I was just looking at Tyler Hero's stats. He missed some games starting January 12th when we had that back-to-back against the Bucks, because, as you know, him and his girlfriend, wife, fiance, partner, they had their second child, who was born on the 13th, right? So now he returned back to action on the 16th. And let me tell you his three-point shooting since then.
And I think that was Friday the 13th, by the way.
Look at that. January 16th against the Hawks, 1-for-8 from three. January 18th against the Pelicans, 0-for-7 from 3. January 20th against the Mavs, 0-for-2 from 3.
Yikes.
January 22nd against the Pelicans, pick things up, 4-for-10 from 3. Against the Celtics, 1-for-7 from 3. Against the Magic, 0-for-3 from 3. Now, these last two games, he's been able to put up 5-for-9 from 3 and 3-for-6, which are, you know, respectable numbers for 3. So maybe he's beginning to pick things up.
Are you saying he needs to stop having kids?
I think he's tired as hell, Dono.
Yeah.
He's tired.
I think so too.
Hell, Dono. But I think he needs to get some rest.
Or a nanny. Like, get yourself a nanny.
Yeah. I think he can afford it, right? He has enough money.
He can. I mean, oh man, it is as you're going to find out, because Marcos, you are you're expecting pretty soon, and
yeah, about 3 months away, man.
Wow, get your sleep now while you can, because you're going to be. You seem like a tired guy in general. You're going to be way more tired once the baby comes.
Yep, or maybe when they try to make me tired, I can pull that vein, like, you know, you merely adopted sleep. I've had lack of sleep since
I was born in it.
I was born with lack of sleep. You ready for the last question, Dono?
Yeah, let's roll.
Will we ever see Dwayne Dedmon in a Miami Heat uniform again?
History would say no, because usually when Pat Riley suspends someone for you know, I don't know what you want to call it, conduct detrimental. Or, you don't typically come back from that. And I'm not saying not every infraction is the same. Like, he didn't get, you know, stoned off his mind off of gummies on an airplane. You know, he didn't do what, you know, didn't make any sort of like.
Remember that, the whole, look, I don't want to speculate, but I know he was
Gerald on. Green, yeah. Substance. Oh, yeah.
He missed some time, to say the least.
Well, and then the Miles Leonard thing, you know, what he said That's during right. that video. So, you know, obviously every infraction is different. Yes. But yes. Typically the guys who get suspended on this team for disciplinary reasons, you don't usually come back from that. That's not the type of doghouse you work your way out of. So I'm going to say
it's an abyss.
It's an abyss. It is. What do you think?
I don't think we're going to see him again, man. I don't. We saw some photos recently that were released in which he was having dinner at Carbone. Not sure if you've ever been there. You've been there, Carbone?
I've not had the pleasure. Have you been there?
No, Donna. I'm much too poor. But yeah, nonetheless, I did see Dwayne Dedman and his wife at dinner with Pat Riley and his wife. So obviously they're in good graces. Obviously people make mistakes. Tempers flare. With that being said, I don't expect to see him, because if that wasn't enough, having dinner with the Godfather to smooth things over, at the end of the day, I didn't see Spo at that dinner.
Probably talking about where you're going to trade me to.
True, you know, something that's like adult and you know, mature about the situation. Look, Dwayne, never going to make it back here. Where do you want to go? Here's dinner.
Do you think Dedman picked up the tab? Like, do you think it was like, you know, Pat, you're doing me a favor, like just seeing me. Let me get this one, okay?
I think he did what my fiance does and what I genuinely appreciate. The old reach. You want me to, I can take care of this one if you'd like. And I think, you know, the Godfather says, don't worry about it. I'll take this one.
So. You know what's crazy? Like for so many years, like as a younger adult, you do that thing where you're like, you're out to dinner with parents or relatives, and you would do like the courtesy reach, knowing they were gonna end up taking it. But then at a certain point in my 30s, they actually let me take it. And it's like,
I don't know, I'm 29, dude. You just put me on.
I don't know, man. I think the mentality at a certain point, the mentality is like, well, okay, yeah, now you're a real grown up now. Yeah, you can handle it.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily in a better financial position than I was previously. I'm just older now.
I'm just older now. And it's,
All right, well, good. Note to self, stop reaching for the check. Will do.
Eventually, they're going to let you take it, and you're not going to know when that day is going to come, but your life will never be the same when that day comes.
Maybe I'll pick and choose. You know, maybe I'll do that at McDonald's, not necessarily Carbone. You know?
Right. Oh, man.
Well, that was it, man. What do you think? First time of I Got a Question? You think it's something Hollywood would like?
Yeah, and I think I want you to purposely come up with questions that are going to annoy Hollywood. If we could do that to him, if we could purposely come up with some stuff, it's just going to like needle him.
Yeah, that's perfect. I can already see it now. Hollywood, better Miami Heat alumni, Jason Capono or LeBron James? We'll see if he, you know, folds to the pressure.
I'd be disappointed if he doesn't say Capono.
Yeah, for sure. I want to see, man. I want to see.
Capono didn't try to stand up Pat Riley the way that LeBron James did.
That's true. That is true.
Quality win for the Miami Heat against the Cavaliers, 100-97. The next time we will see our Heat in action, this is a game I really, really want to win more than most, because I still despise the New York Knicks. I know it's not the rivalry that it used to be. Most of that's because the Knicks have been a dumpster fire for a much longer period of time. The Heat haven't really been a dumpster fire ever. Like, not for more than like maybe
one. We're shot away from the championship.
Huh? Yeah. Where the Knicks have been, they've been irrelevant since the 90s, pretty much. Outside of like a few weeks of Lynn Sanity a few years ago, they've been irrelevant since the 90s. But I always want to beat that team. That's going to be at Madison Square Garden on Thursday night, the 2nd of February, 7:30 p.m. So we will talk to you after that one. Let's go Heat. Huge shout out to Marcos. Thank you, sir. Huge shout out to Hollywood, wherever you may be. We will talk to you guys again next time. And make sure you do us a solid. Red Hot Hoops is the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, of course. We are an Odyssey podcast, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. Make sure to subscribe to Red Hot Hoops, part of the Odyssey Podcast Network. See ya.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.